Hello, I see you're interested in the Corsa with
mobile connectivity.
Exactly.
And advanced European engineering for a fun dynamic drive.
All for just £149 initial rental, then £149 a month.
Really?
Search Corsa Energy. Vauxhall. British brand since 1903. Personal contract hire offer on Corsa 3-door Energy 1.4 75 PS in metallic paint. Initial rental £149 plus 47 months at £149. Excess miles over contracted mileage of 20,000 over 48 months, charged at 5 pence per mile. You will not own the car. T's and C's apply. Offer ends March 31st, 2018. Offer not available with free insurance.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Back on the scene.
With your host, yeah. Podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 578. This is your host, Danny, and also joining me this week, co-host of GTR, we have Pete.
What's up? All new and,
yeah. What, well, you want to call you Peter?
No, no.
Petey. You want to call you Petey?
Oh, or God. Petey?
I caught that, but I didn't want to say anything because it was going to ruin the vibe.
You know what? I caught it when we were recording. I was like, why does he keep calling him Petey? I was like, maybe, I don't know. Maybe they got a personal relationship I don't know about. I'm not going to say nothing.
What's up, Paris? What's going on, Paris?
Oh, no, I'm none, man. We're back. We're 1080'd up. We're ready.
Well, not me. I'm still behind with my consoles.
You're still 360'd up.
Ooh-yah. Ooh-yah'd up. It's all good. But how's been off for like a couple of weeks, man. How's been everything, though, with you guys?
It's been, well, I know we're going to get into all this, so I might as well just get the fireworks going. So Pete and I, you know, we've had the adventure of a lifetime trying to get these damn NVIDIA 1080 GPUs. You know, it's just every day scrambling on InStock.com and Newegg canceling orders and on not shipping crap and all this. But I got mine last week, and Pete, you know, you got yours today. Mm-hmm. And I think we're all happy with that. But in the time that I've had my 1080 now, I've had a nice extended period with the holiday and everything to just you know, do some benchmarks on it, overclocking, all that. Been playing a lot of The Witcher 3 in 4K, by the way. And yeah, there's no way in hell I'm getting an Xbox One S or a Scorpio. I'm done. I'm done with that hardware.
Okay.
Yeah, which I say because I know the last time we recorded, you know, I was kind of wavering a little bit at E3. You know, I got Esco, Rob, all in my face everywhere I go, you know, trying to tempt me with the damn console. But with Xbox Anywhere, I'm going to get to play Gears 4. Like, it's like I'm going to get to play ReCore, Gears of War 4, things like that in 4K now. I don't need to wait on Scorpio. I got my own Scorpio. I got Capricorn. I'm ready. You know what I mean?
That's true. True.
There's no point for me to get the Xbox One S. There really isn't. Because I even thought about it. Oh, maybe I'll get it from my son. But it's not like he's asking for it. And we already play together on the PlayStation 4. So we'll just keep doing that. And I'll get, you know, I'll just get my Xbox games on PC. So, look, everyone wins.
True. What about you, Pete? Feeling the same or?
I don't even know how to preface this. I mean, I've literally had my 1080 for about 6 hours. And it's been in my computer a total of about, let's see, we started talking crap about 15, 20 minutes ago. So that's pretty much all I've had a chance to do. I mean, I fired up The Witcher 3, put it on Ultra, and saw it just lock in at 60 frames per second. Didn't even bother. It didn't even move up or down. It just 60 frames hardcore.
Okay.
So I haven't had
I mean, you can tell us the next episode to see if you still feel the same or not.
Oh, no. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be pretty happy with it. Now,
what resolution?
1440.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't see I see myself doing both. I mean, mm-hmm. I still appreciate the Xbox online experience a little bit more. Not to say that the PlayStation has gotten any more negative or any worse. It's the limited experiences I've had with it, especially playing you know, like was it Battlefront and Battleborn, and what's the other one? Not Overwatch. Is it Overwatch? Yeah, it is Overwatch.
Yeah, Overwatch. Yeah, good, great game.
It's been positive, no issues. I like the chat. The jumping in and out of games has not been an issue. So I can't speak any negative to it. It has its place, but I think I may start doing a little more teetering towards the PC simply because I've got the horsepower now. And this has been a labor of love for me, building this PC to now where it's comparable and capable of playing any game on the market with little to no effort. I mean, the Fractal case I have is practically dead silent anyways. I haven't even put it through its paces yet to see if I could even fire up those fans, because from what I've heard is that it does power management so well that it doesn't need to fire up the fans unless you're like doing hardcore rendering. And the one thing that surprised me was it's only got one 6+2 power connector, as opposed to my 970 I had the 6.2, the 6+2 and the 6 pin power connector going in. So It kind of took me back. I was like, "Wait a minute! I don't need to put in extra power connections. This ought to be fun."
Well, that's the thing. I guess we talk about which cards we get. I have the Gigabyte G1 gaming card, and it only has the 1.8 pin. My old EVGA 980 had 2.6 pins, so it's like, it's sucking up less power. The fans are damn near silent. Like when I have headphones on, I don't hear anything, obviously, but I had been playing over the weekend without headphones. And I noticed after a while, I was like, what is that noise? I was like, oh, that's the fan. And even then I barely heard it. You know what I mean? And this was like after about a good 2-3 hours of playing. So
yeah, it's funny. We swapped the manufacturers. You went Gigabyte, where I was on the Gigabyte G1 Gaming 970 before. And I went to the EVGA, and it's funny we swapped, but yeah, it'll be interesting. I know we're taking away from the intro. Danny's probably like impatiently.
I know. I'm like here quiet. Like, oh no, guys, please continue. Please.
But we'll do a. I think it definitely bears more time, at least from my side. I know Paris has put a lot of effort and time.
Oh, I can do mine right now. I'm ready.
Yeah. I definitely want to spend at least another week playing around with it, tuning it, overclocking it, see how it runs, and then give you my opinion, my full-on opinion.
All right, head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag and listen to our past episodes, and make sure to share it with your friends. And also you can find us at different locations, different directories. That's iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other places. Subscribe, and we're gonna be releasing episodes once again, 2 episodes a week, so stay tuned. Give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Email us fanmail@gamertagradio.com. We have a lot of voicemails and also emails that the listeners have been sending us during the time that we were at E3. So we're gonna be playing that here during this episode. And also I'm going to Chicago. By the time you guys listen to this, you're probably going to know if we either won or we just completely, once again, didn't win anything. But it's all good. We're going to be, I'm going to be there in Chicago for the Comedy of Podcasters Awards. And a couple of our listeners locally from Chicago, they're going to be also attending the awards with me. So I'm very, very excited about that. So stay tuned or follow me on Twitter and I'll give you all the scoop. On the behind the scenes, I heard over 1,500 people are going to be showing up at the awards. That's going to be
just for us.
Insane. I hope it's for us. That'd be great, right? I'm going to give you more information about the documentary they'll be filming since February, and also they follow us, the filmmakers, during E3. Paris and Pete, they're also going to be in the film, and I can't wait for that. So for more information, go to TheMessengersDOC.com. That's TheMessengersDOC.com. And to get the scoop on everything about the film. And I'm also going to plan to have the filmmakers on our show so they can talk about more about the film and everything, so you guys can have an idea about that. So I'm super, super excited. So anything else before we go to Fat Mail?
I have two things.
Okay.
So I'm looking at Pete's Facebook page, and I guess I never really paid attention to your profile pic until just now. I have no words. I have no words. I literally have no words. He's holding a Sprinkles cupcake with the yak from our apartment in LA in the background.
I did that literally the day I took the picture. I put it right up. It was immediately because like it was so perfect.
Yeah. Oh, that's freaking great. But the second thing I have to just because like I got to just get it out of the way so we can move on. Again, yeah. I won't ramble on about the 1080 too much, but. So I've purposely been playing in 4K, just everything, right? And I've been playing The Witcher 3, ultra settings, got AA off. I even got hair work. I have hair works on, actually, and I'm still getting on my overclock. I'm still getting close to about 50 frames per second, between 45 and 50 frames per second. And that's just the way I've been playing. It's not the magical 60, but I've been playing. I've at least put about 15 hours into the game. I decided to just start over from scratch. That game is beautiful, man. I just don't know how else to say it. I'm just running around Velen right now and just getting into all these adventures and doing all this crazy stuff. And at 4K, the game is just stunning. I can't go back. I literally can't go back. And I truly hope that CD Projekt Red puts this on a Scorpio and the Neo so console gamers can experience it the same way too. Because the game's just, it's still to me, it's been a year now, a little over a year. It's still the game of the year. You'd probably game of the year again for 2016. That's just how good the game is. I freaking love it.
It's amazing.
Yeah, but amazing. Yeah, so I just get that ramble out of the way, and I can't wait for the Gwent beta in September. I'm excited because I'm beating everybody. I'm challenging everybody. I'm going to win.
You got to give us a story about that you beat one of the developers at
Yeah. So, yeah, one of my appointments at E3, I got to see Gwent. I think we had like the audio presentation that I was sitting in on during one of the episodes during E3. But anyways, after they did the presentation, we all got to sit down and play the Gwent beta that everyone will get to check out in September. And I actually played against one of the developers that was there because they just matched people up against each other. But I had a developer sitting across from me. And it was funny because at first he thought my strategy was odd, and he stood up at one point and he's like, "Now, you know, you can do this, this and that." And I was like, "Okay, yeah, I got it." And then, you know, we started playing, going back and forth. And at the end, yeah, I beat him, man. And he was like, "Oh, you beat me." And I just looked at him and I gave him the look. I was like, "You damn right I beat you, because I'm a champion." Nah, but it's fun, man. I can't wait to play. That human element completely changes it from the way that you'll play it on The Witcher 3, man. Because again, the human element, people are unpredictable. You just don't know what they're going to do. So I can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. Which now, has it been clarified? Because I know we were talking about this with that other indie game that We Happy Few. Isn't Gwent, is that a cross-play one too? I can't remember.
I think so.
I know it's on Xbox One and on Windows, but I don't know if it's an Xbox Anywhere thing.
I think it is. They were promoting it, but you guys got to do some research.
Yeah, we'll have that.
It definitely sits within the launch window, because I know we were talking about this, you know, a couple of hours ago about how, you know, I think the beta or the demo is going to be available for. In the next couple of weeks or something like that. But yeah, I would not be surprised. I haven't seen any concrete evidence that it is, but I wouldn't be surprised simply because Xbox Play Anywhere starts in September and the game comes out.
No, it starts in August.
Is it in August?
ReCore is the first game.
All right. Well then, I would assume that We Happy Few sits right there within that launch window. So I wouldn't see why not.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. We'll get more information on that to clarify. But exciting time. I mean, and I guess we're just talking about it. It's, to me, like I've said it during E3, I'll say it again, just the aftermath. I've even watched a few Phil Spencer interviews, like the one he did on Giant Bomb was actually really good. I suggest people check that out. But just hearing them talk about Xbox Anywhere and the way that they're going to support it. Hell, we even got picked up on some sites with what Aaron Greenberg said about on the Windows side, you won't have to pay for Xbox Live Gold to do multiplayer stuff. But I think
a lot of articles about other things too, right?
Yeah. From stuff he said, but it was just specifically on Xbox Anywhere. it is 100% the right move for Microsoft. I was even listening to the Kind of Funny guys, Colin Moriarty. He was kind of being skeptical of it because he's feeling like Microsoft is going to leave money on the table as far as hardware goes, but they'll probably, but again, they're going to make money on the software side. And I think realistically, people, and I'm not saying this to pick on you, Danny, but people like Danny who don't want to build a PC, this is not going to be the incentive to get them to build a PC. They're still going to go get an Xbox One S, or they're going to wait on Scorpio. That's going to be their solution for gaming. But if you're a person that is already into PC gaming, mm-hmm. it's just a no-brainer. Why wouldn't I just play my Xbox games on a superior piece of hardware? For me, like I said, my PC today, and I'm not saying this to brag, it's just specs, it's just fact, my PC today is more powerful than what the Scorpio is going to be next year, right? So why would I invest in a Scorpio? That makes no sense for me if I can play those same games on my current PC right now today. You know what I mean? So yeah. For anyone that's an enthusiast like that on the PC side, that likes to tinker, that likes to have cutting edge technology and hardware, Microsoft's now giving you a solution to make you happy too. And I just think we all win. You know what I mean? I don't see this being a bad thing for anybody.
Yep. And a good thing too, you don't have to pay for Xbox Live. That's another thing that Aaron Greenberg talked about during our interview with him.
Didn't I just say that?
Yeah. I know you did. You did say that. No, I'm saying, I know you said that, but Paris, I know you said that. I'm just saying that from someone that is not into PC, I think that's right. That's a great thing.
Well, you know? They have to do that, honestly. If you, because matter of fact, I saw NeoGAF, they were having a discussion about this a couple of days ago, back and forth. But in my opinion, if I'm a PC gamer and you all of a sudden tell me I need to pay to play multiplayer games, your multiplayer games, then I'm just going to stick with what I already have been playing on Steam and the good old games and Origin and all that. Why am I going to pay to play a multiplayer game on Xbox Live? That doesn't make sense if I'm a PC gamer. Console gamer, you've been doing it for over 10 years anyways. And I think the nugget, the incentive now is Games for Gold, right? That's how mm-hmm. they can, the incentive to say, all right, this is why you're paying for Xbox Live, because look at all the free content that we give you, which is really the same thing that they're doing on PlayStation Plus as well. But the difference with PlayStation Plus is, you got to have a PlayStation to play their games. So you kind of have no choice if you want to play multiplayer games. Whereas now Microsoft's giving you the choice. Again, I just think it's a good thing.
And also, too, we forgot about mentioning this, that you could also play Xbox 360 games on Xbox One. So you can't do that on the on PC. So at least you have options. Like, look, you have this certain things for the console. Free games, old games, everything there. And if not, go with the PC and you get your own goodies there too, man. Free Xbox Live, everything. It's good.
Yeah,
it's just for everyone.
Yep.
Yeah.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, so it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
What's even better, dude?
Pete, you always got to be ready. I think you said that during the interview with Podcast Junkies. You have to be ready. You never know.
That's why I gave you those audio files a couple weeks ago, man. Just use those.
I'll always
be ready.
Yeah. All right, so should we go with a voicemail or email first? Because I think that was a pretty good email that was sent for Paris that I was like, man, I think that's a great way to start.
I think we should end it with that one.
Okay, all right.
Because that's it's a non-gaming topic, more or less. So, yeah, we'll end
okay,
with
all right,
one.
All right. All right, so let's go with this then. This voicemail is from Mike from the UK, and he talks about the Xbox Scorpio and all the different announcements during E3.
Hi guys, this is Mike, aka Trashback, calling from the UK again. And I just want to comment on an observation of mine, specifically about the Scorpio. And that's to say, since the announcement of the Scorpio, I've noticed a change in the attitudes of fans towards Microsoft, and it seems a lot more like the old Microsoft, a lot more positivity around the announcements and the brand and the company. And it seems that Microsoft have taken the they've become the aggressor by announcing the Scorpio. They've taken it by the scruff of the neck in the same way that they used to approach their marketing, and it seems to have grabbed the fans again. And I was actually listening to Paris talking about Microsoft and Games Anywhere or whatever they called it, and I thought suddenly we've got a change in attitude, and I wondered if this could be a shift for Microsoft and just finally turning the tables on this console generation. Anyway, I'd love to hear your thoughts, and I'll catch up soon. Cheers.
All right, so do you see the changes of attitude with the fans ever since all these announcements, not only from this past E3, but the previous E3s too, man, ever since Phil Spencer been taking over? Your thoughts?
Well, it's, you know, we talked about this during E3, but this is the first time since 2013 that Microsoft hasn't been defensive. They've been able to be aggressive. They're on the offense now. They're not worrying about what the competition is doing. They don't have to apologize to us as the consumers to try and win us back. They're like, look, we realize the mistakes we made. Now, moving forward, we're giving you this awesome piece of hardware with the Xbox One S, the 4K stuff, which, by the way, it's going to up-res all the games to 4K. That got confirmed this week, too. So that's another good incentive. You know, obviously, Scorpio's out a year and a half out. We know that's coming. They're going to ushering in the 4K gaming. You know, you look at the stuff that they're doing again with the Xbox Anywhere, the cross-play, you know, games like ReCore, Forza Horizon 3, you know, we few happy people, however you flip and say it, all the, you know, all the backwards compatibility stuff with the 360, finally Red Dead got confirmed. I think that was today, matter of fact. You know, yeah. It's like, if you're an Xbox owner, if you're in that Microsoft ecosystem, it's a good time right now, because you can see, and again, we've said this from the jump. Ever since Phil Spencer took over, they've been doing the right things. It's been trending upward since that point. And now we're all seeing it starting to culminate. And we're seeing Microsoft get back to being what they should have been from the get-go, a gaming platform. Forget all the stupid TV crap and you're trying to make your own. Where the Halo TV show? Are they finally going to admit that's never coming, by the way?
You know, we should ask.
Yeah, we should ask. Should have asked Aisha. We should have asked Aisha Tyler. But I'm happy to see where Microsoft's going. And like Mike said in the voicemail, you know, it's the perception has changed. I think the average consumer now is looking at Microsoft in a positive light, and that's what they want, right?
I think that's a great thing, man. A great thing. That's why I said, man, being second place is a beautiful thing, man, because they're hungry right now.
Yeah, we all win.
We all win, exactly. So, Pete, you want to say anything about that, or are you good?
No, I think I don't think I can add anything more to this. I mean, just the number of games that they've got in the, you know, on the table getting ready to come out. It's a great opportunity for gamers, period. I mean, everybody wins. They're improving on the hardware for Xbox One as a console. Their service offering for Xbox Live. You know, they're making all of the good positive tweaks that people want, that gamers want. And then, you know, you just got to give them a thumbs up and a clap on the back, because they're finally, like Paris said, it's they're not defensive. They're doing what they want to do. They're not being forced into, you know, a pigeonhole of, oh, we're doing this and, you know, we're hoping that it's going to do good. No, they're going back to what they wanted to do way back, which is, you know, just give us great games and a great service to play on, regardless of whether you're on an Xbox or an Xbox One S or Scorpio or on a gaming PC. So kudos.
All right. Well, this is an email here from Keith from Little Rock. Again, this, man, Paris, you're like the famous guy here, man. This is for Paris. He's like, I think it's possible that a Scorpio could play 4K games and still be affordable if these AMD cards are really doing what they claim. I think it's possible to get a Scorpio around $500. You think it's going to be cheaper, more expensive?
I think that's the price. If I had to guess, $500 sounds about right to me. I think six is really pushing it. you know, in this current landscape, especially since Neo's most likely coming out this year, or at worst case, early 2017. So by the time Scorpio comes out in the holiday 2017, there's no way they can have a $600 console. So to me, $500 seems about right. $499.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. I mean, you've got the Polaris, which is the GPU that comes, or it's the compute unit that comes on the 480. $200 card, you could buy it. Well, it's almost hard to find right now because it's gone the way of the mystical 1080. But it's there's no disabled compute unit, so you're getting all 2300 stream processors on there. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't be surprised. Now you might not be able to get. I don't know. Obviously, you know, if we're gonna get a full 4K, but we've still got another year out where they may be able to do some additional tweaks, maybe some software acceleration on there to make that 4K a possibility. But I mean, it's not going to be the video card that costs the major chunk of it. It might be the rest of it.
You guys want to read another email
before yeah
play another voicemail?
Yeah let me read this one. This was also from Mike. He sent us the voicemail too, so you're Mr. Popular today. He says, hi guys, just seen first gameplay for Lawbreak. Jesus, I can't even talk. Hi guys, just seen first gameplay for Lawbreak. Oh my god, I can't say that word. Lawbreakers. Lawbreakers. I just see the first gameplay for Lawbreakers and wondered what your thoughts are now that E3 is a distant memory and you've had time to digest. As a fan of Cliffy B and Unreal Tournament, this got me really excited. Then I heard it's PC only. Do you anticipate it making its way to console eventually? Cheers, Mike, a.k.a. Trash Bat. No, it's going to be PC only because it's where it should be. Same with Quick.
Wow. Paris,
actually,
really?
Mike, if you listen to, I think it was my first interview of E3, was actually with the Boss Key production guys, and it was on Lawbreakers. Lawbreakers is a lot of fun. I will say that out loud immediately. I was lucky enough to get a alpha code while we were at E3, and it is a hell of a lot of fun. They have a reasoning for not wanting to go to consoles yet. They feel that from a gaming and an esports possibility, that PC is the right way to go. They've got a lot more control over what they can do and provide to the consumer base. Not to say that it's out of the way or it's not ever going to happen, a la like Halo or whatever, but it for now they want to focus only on PC to make sure that they get the game right. And who knows, maybe future versions or iterations will go into the console, but for right now it's all PC.
All right. And here's another voicemail.
Hi guys, Devin here. Thought I'd go voicemail this time. Just wanted to follow on to Paris's comment about the iterative console generation. For the record, I agree. I think that both Microsoft and Sony, in adopting the Polaris architecture, are going to now put out new equipment every so often according to the Apple model. But in terms of standing by my statement that they don't really know what they're doing 3 to 5 years from now, I think that that's still the case, because the thing you got to remember is that AMD pushed this decision on to them. They didn't decide suddenly that they were going to iterate. They just knew that it was going to be cheaper for them if they went with the flow. So that's what they did. However, to say that they know what they're going to be doing 5 years from now is quite difficult, on the basis that they don't even know what architecture is going to be available to them. So on that basis, I think it's going to be more of a reactive type of strategy. I think that they'll adopt as the industry moves on. And for the record, I think it's a good direction for him to go. But I would love to hear your comments on that. A quick follow-up point to that is, where are they going to go from here? If they're not innovating on their architecture as was done in the past, then how are they going to differentiate themselves from each other and other competitors? My thought on that is possibly that they're going to invest a lot more in the ecosystem now, and I think that that could be a really powerful thing. I think if our online experience is more rich in features and environment and community, that can only be a good thing for gaming. Again, love to hear your thoughts. Love you guys. Take care. All the best.
Paris, that's for you about the whole AMD stuff and cards and...
Yeah. And Jesus.
Cussing on the podcast. No, and thank you for the email. And I agree with him and I disagree with him at the same time. I don't feel that AMD coming out with Polaris and this new SoC forced Microsoft or Sony to make the Scorpio or the Neo. What I think is both of them had a half measure with the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4. Neither one of them should have come out with a console in 2013. They should have waited and they would have had 4K. Basically, what the Xbox One S is in August is what the damn thing should have been at launch, right? And I'm sure the PlayStation 4 Slim, when they announced that at Tokyo Game Show, is what the PlayStation 4 should have been at launch. So they're basically fixing these half measures now with these new consoles. And the fact that, yeah, AMD has these new low-powered socks with the Polaris. They're going to have all the teraflops and all that, and they can hit, you know, somewhat hit 4K gaming, probably 4K at 30 frames per second. They're going to do it. I mean, again, we're in this x86 architecture now, which is basically a PC architecture, and they can have these consoles live in the same ecosystem and be forwards and backwards compatible. We've talked about this a million times, so I won't repeat it all. So when he says he doesn't think they know what they're going to do 5 years from now, I disagree with that too. I think this is the model moving forward, and I think it's a model that works for the consumer because it's not forcing you to upgrade to the latest hardware until you're ready to upgrade to it. So if every 3 years now we're getting more powerful hardware, but the old system still can play the games, even though they'll probably look like trash. I mean, it's your choice. You're not being made to do it. And yeah, I think it's the right move. I mean, technology moves at such a rapid pace now. The fact that the days of being stuck with 7 and 8 year old hardware to play your console games is the past. It just doesn't make sense.
And don't forget, you've got DX12 that's going to help push a lot of that.
And Vulkan.
Yep. So.
Yes.
All right. Next voicemail. This is about, our roundtable discussion about the Sony press conference. Check it out.
Hey, Gamertag Radio. How's it going? I just got done listening to your Sony press conference roundtable, and I was hearing how you guys were had the criticism of how Sony doesn't really have any dates attached to all these games, right? And I feel like you've had that problem with Sony in the past. And I was wondering, you know, looking towards the fall with all these third-party games, whether it's Titanfall or Watch Dogs, you know, I'm looking at it and saying, like, how am I going to have time to play all these games, you know, enough? So that brings me to my question, you know, with all these third-party games, are exclusives really that big of a deal? You know, if anything, I looked at Sony's press conference last night and just said, you know what, that's a vote of confidence for the future, you know, that I made the right choice. But in the meantime, I'm going to enjoy Titanfall kind of thing. Anyways, love what you do. Keep up the good work. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Well, really, he's talking to you.
I know he is talking about me. But here's the thing. Like, look, I'm excited about the games that they've been showing for the past couple years now, Sony, right? Do you remember the day they announced Agent? Were you excited? What happened to that game? Were you excited last year, like me, that even put money down about Shenmue? There was no updates, anything about Shenmue during the press conference this year at E3. You know, little things like that. I feel that when the game is ready or almost ready, I think that's the time for you to just announce it, show it, and you didn't even have to announce dates there. You know, at least say 2018 or 2017, whatever, that would be fine, you know. But when you announce a game like Kingdom Hearts, that was like a couple years ago, what happened to that? You know, I feel that companies, when they do that, they're just hyping the crowd up, and then 5-6 years later, that's when they finally announce the dates of the games that have been announced. And I think it's wrong, you know. It's okay if you're not a fan of Xbox and everything, but that's one thing about them. When they announce a game, the majority of the time, they always have dates. They will say either this year or next year, you know, and all the games that have been announcing is between from now till next year that comes out. You know, they have never done something like Halo 5 or Halo 6. They never show the date and then 2018 comes out. Do you think that's right? Or 2019? That's not right.
Sure it is.
You know, so, no, man. I mean, look, Sony is the king right now. They're setting a lot of consoles. They're number one right now. and they're confident. You know, it's and I agree with that. You know, I love the press conference. I think that was one of their best press conferences I've ever seen from Sony. But at the same time, they're kind of tricking the fans by doing that. You know, I just find that wrong. You know, and people are going to say, oh, yeah, cause you're an Xbox fan, whatever. People are going to say that, you know, but I have a PlayStation 4 here too, you know, and there's certain games that I actually bought that came up for both systems, and I bought it for Sony, you know, so I'm not even thinking about this whole console BS fanboy crap. You know, I'm just not a fan of the whole not announcing dates. So that's all I have to say.
My opinion on that is, from a business standpoint, you want to drive or build some kind of hype up for it. Now,
perfect. You're right.
Unfortunately, and Sony's almost made this an ongoing practice where they drive up hype. And I think I said this on one of the E3 shows, where they're almost doing it just to win the press conference battle and don't care if or when they actually release the game, you know. And I don't know if that's something that is part of their marketing strategy, to just say, we won the E3 war, it doesn't matter what happens over the next 2 or 3 months. And then, you know, and now what is it? They're not going to be doing a press conference at Gamescom, from what I read.
Yeah. Why is that? What's up with that?
Who knows? I don't know. Maybe we should get Adam Boyce on the show or something.
They didn't last year.
No, they did last year. Oh, wait, they did a conference during the game, the Paris one.
They did Paris. Yeah.
Paris.
There you go. The show just got awkward real quick. But I mean, it's a marketing strategy. I don't want to say ploy, but it's a marketing strategy. Mm-hmm. I don't disagree with it. I just don't like that they string along the gamer with expectations and kind of like bring it up 1 year, but don't revisit the tease that they gave for another 2 or 3 years. I don't know. Maybe that's just what Sony feels is the right thing to do, because apparently they've been winning the console war for this generation. So maybe it's working. Maybe it is working. Yeah. Maybe that's something that the other, you know, the other heads, you know, the big names should maybe approach and consider.
Do me a favor. Whenever you get the chance, listen to the Michael Pachter interview that I recorded during E3. He breaks down all the press conferences, and he also talks about his opinion about the Sony press conference, which is a pretty good interview. So check it out.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Check it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Do you guys have any other emails there, or you want to play some more voicemails?
Let's do the rest of the voicemails, and we'll end it with that one email.
Okay, cool. All right, so this next voicemail is from Sunny, all the way from Oregon.
Hey, good morning, Gamertag Radio. This is Sunny in Oregon. Gamertag's Consigliere Salt. Quick question for you guys. 2013, Microsoft completely botched their conference. We all know what happened. The world became pro PlayStation and anti Xbox and all that jazz. After watching both conferences yesterday, Microsoft and Sony, what are your guys' impressions? Did Microsoft do enough to maybe gain back some of that ground they lost and potentially maybe beat Sony with the whole Play Anywhere concept, or is Sony still king after their press conference? Love to hear you guys' thoughts. Thanks for all you do. Appreciate the coverage of E3. Later.
All right. I think we already talked about Xbox announcements, like our impressions and everything. But he wants to know, do you think Sony is still king?
Yeah, of course they are.
There you go.
Well, if you just
I mean, to, you know, make it short and sweet, because again, we've talked about this stuff ad nauseum. They didn't do anything to hurt their position. If anything, they may have strengthened their position. So they're fine.
Yep. And the investors are loving it too. Yeah. I also think from the business side. So it's great. All right. So this next voicemail, his name is Danny from New Jersey. And this is, I think, is a perfect question for Pete about the Call of Duty franchise.
Hey, GamerTag Radio. It's Danny from Jersey. It's my second attempt doing this this voicemail because I know you guys want to make it a little shorter. So, focusing on Call of Duty. I've been a Call of Duty player since World at War, Call of Duty 3, and I haven't bought the past two Advanced Warfare, this new one, Black Ops 3, and I will be buying Infinite Warfare, but I'm only buying it because of the remastered Modern Warfare 1. So my question is I think they're still attracting the younger crowd. That's why they still have high sales, but the older crowd is not interested anymore. I see a lot of my friends and myself just not buying the game anymore. So in order to get both of the crowds involved again to make even more money and break even more records, should they do what Battlefield's doing and make a complete U-turn, start fresh, go back in the day, or do something totally different than the futuristic turn they're taking, or just go back to the Modern Warfare 1, Modern Warfare 2 days, or even World at War days, and make it more simple, simple guns, simple story, simple tactical ways, then go into different planets, what we're doing now, which I think they should, easier zombies, and more simple zombie mode. I just want your take on that. Thank you.
Pete, Call of Duty, your thoughts?
I agree. I would like to see the return to tactical play. I'm not a big zombies fan. I don't know. Maybe it's, and that's just a me personal thing. I don't think it's a fun change of pace, but I don't think, you know, it just doesn't attract me. So I don't have any, you know, I don't want to say anything more negative about the title. But I agree. I think I would like more returning to a tactical gameplay type style, but it's just, that's the evolution of the, of Call of Duty as a whole. That's where it's turned. And we've seen that with, you know, not just Call of Duty, but with Battlefield and, you know, and games, and it's spawned games, kind of like, you know, Respawn's Titanfall, where it's no longer just you in a war with, you know, in a current environment or what have you. And that's kind of like why DICE has gone back to Battlefield 1 now. Now they've got, you know, they've gone back to what they know works, which is the World War II setting. And in the gameplay that I had over at E3, coming from someone who has gone on record and said that they need to leave that genre of fighting in World War II alone, it looked and played phenomenally, you know? So maybe there is an opening for something like that. Now, will Call of Duty do the complete about face and switch over to going back to a more tactical play style or gameplay? Who knows? I don't think that's going to happen, especially with Call of Duty experience happening and COD becoming an esport title. Tactical gameplay almost doesn't work. While there are tactics at play when you see a game like that, when you play a game like that, I just don't know if a full-on tactical type style game like that would work. If you want true tactical gameplay, I would say go to PC and check out Arma 3.
All right. And I believe we have one more email. Whoever wants to read it.
Well, before we go to that, because I meant to mention this earlier and I don't want to forget, what are your thoughts on the Bioshock collection that's coming to console and PC?
I have it on multiple consoles. So, I mean, I love it. There's a big crowd out there that never played none of the games, so I think that's great for them. For someone that already has played the game many, many times, and a person that doesn't like to, I wouldn't go back. I think I'm done with it. I mean, it's a great. I think it's a great thing that they're releasing it, but I think I'm done. In my opinion, but that's just me. You guys,
Peter,
I played maybe half of the first Bioshock. I never played two. And, you know, I played 3, you know, Bioshock Infinite, and I loved it. I think this would be a good opportunity for me to go back. You know, I have the title. I have Bioshock 1, 2, and Infinite. So I think it would be a great opportunity for me to go back and revisit that and see what all the hype is about. I know Paris has talked about Minerva's Den being one of the best DLCs he's ever played. So
Here's one thing though. Like it, I have it also on my Steam machine, and I have it on the 360 and so on. So it's like, why should I just buy this thing again?
You don't have to. I'm glad you brought that up. Here's the great thing about this deal. Yeah, if you're just playing on the console, on the Xbox One or the PlayStation 4, yeah, you're gonna have to drop the $60 to get it. But since we already own it on Steam, all of the remaster upgrades that they're doing for BioShock 1 and 2, we get them for free.
Okay.
We don't have to do anything. So, I mean, we're going to, because that's why I'm curious to go back and play the original BioShock, you know, since they're going to update it. And again, play it in 4K. And but no, that's the one I'm curious to go back and play. I definitely want to play it when that update comes out. But again, okay, if you own it on PC already, you get these updates for free. And BioShock Infinite on PC won't be getting any type of update because it's already up to snuff. But on Xbox One and PlayStation 4 will be 1080p 60 frames per second, which is good too.
And you'd be surprised how many people have never even played this game.
I know.
So I mean, this is great for them.
I just wonder if it's going to stand up. You know, if it will it hold up in 2016? You know, like it did back in when did BioShock 2 come out?
Oh my God,
BioShock 2 was 2010.
Yeah, 2010 during a community vibes. And
the original BioShock was the great year of 2007.
Yes, which to this day greatest demo ever, right, Paris?
Oh yeah, amazing, absolutely amazing.
All right, so should we read the last email, or there's anything else?
No, we can go ahead and read it. Let me pull it up now. So this is from Brian, and he says, "Hey, Paris, I've been a listener of yours since like episode 30-something of Uncle Gamer Radio. So I've been a fan of Fat Paris, Skinny Paris, and now Hulk Paris. My question is, how do you balance life, fitness, and gaming? I used to be exceptionally fit, really heavy into competitive martial arts and running. Back then, my responsibilities were few, though having a social life and gaming while maintaining my fitness wasn't that big of a deal. Fast forward a decade or so of adulthood, and I've gone from a 155, 165 pound fighting fitness fanatic to a 300 plus pound depressed goober. I got sick and tired of being sick and tired and started eating right and training again this past February. And I've dropped down to 216 pounds so far. Congratulations on that. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Everything's going great, except for one thing. I'm thinking I'm so busy with life, work, the training, cooking, and cleaning up my meals, single guy. Yeah, you need to get your woman, bro. No, I'm just kidding. that I struggle to find even 40 minutes a week to play games anymore. So really, how do you do it? I sleep 7 hours a night and don't want to get much lower than that because for the last decade, I've lived on like 3-4 hours a night and it made me pretty miserable. The 7 hours a night, I believe, had been critical in my recovery. So aside from not sleeping, how do you make time for gaming? Thanks, Brian from New Jersey." Okay, Brian, again, thank you for your email. We really appreciate it. So for me, I mean, it's priorities. Like I make sure I hit the gym 5 days a week at a minimum 4, right? With the holidays or whatever, I think I went to the gym this week, like 6 days a week, but, it's just I try to plan my day out. Literally, after I come home from work, I it's the first thing I do is I go to the gym. You know, I'll come home, see the kids, whatever, kiss the wife. I change 30 minutes after being at home. I go to the gym for an hour. Then I come home, I'll eat dinner, do whatever. Gaming, I fit it in as I can. Now, if I'm reviewing a game or something, I will simply sacrifice sleep or something and make time to play said game for a review. But like I said, I've been playing The Witcher all weekend and stuff. It's like that was my time. I was off from work. I didn't have that responsibility. You know, it's holiday. So I made the time to play. Probably after this podcast, I'll probably get another good little hour or so in of The Witcher or whatever before I go to bed. It's, you just got to plan time. You got to make what's important to you. It sounds like right now your fitness is the most important thing in your life and you need to keep it that way. Screw video games. You know, video games will be there when you're ready for them. When you're ready for them, you don't have to make them a priority. Like when I was in my whole weight loss thing 5 years ago, gaming took a huge backseat. That was not my priority. My priority was to lose weight. And that's what I did. And you're already on the right path. You've you've lost at least a minimum of 85 pounds. So that's amazing on its own. So you got the formula. You know what to do. Just don't worry about playing video games. It'll come back around. You'll figure it out. And like I said, you said you're a single guy, so you got to clean and do all that. Look, let me tell you something. Married, you got to clean and do all that stuff too, because then your wife will cut your throat. So that doesn't matter either. But, you know, you'll figure it out. You know what your priorities are. And like I said, fitness is your priority right now. So just keep doing that. Just keep going down that path, man, until you're happy. And then when you're happy and you know the routine and you know how to figure it out, you'll find time for it. Look, there'll be a game that comes out. You'll find the time. Look, that 7 hours will go down to about 5.5 real quick. That's all I'm saying. You know what I mean? So yeah. I don't know, Pete, you want to throw something in there?
Yeah, I'd love to. This is a new thing for me, right? So I mean, I spent the last 4, 5, 6 years building up this Fat Boy Chronicles lifestyle that I thought was cool, you know, me personally. And then, you know, I hated having to keep going every couple of weeks and buying new clothes because my other stuff didn't fit me, and just feeling tired all the time because you're carrying an extra 20, 30, 40, 50. I mean, you going from 300 plus to to 215 around there. That's a phenomenal effort in and of itself. And that should get its own. Danny, you should drop an applause track right here for him.
You know, yes, for sure. Yeah.
Like I've dropped maybe 30 pounds since January, and has my gaming taken a hit? Les Paris said, and as everybody else will agree, absolutely it has. I kind of make time for it when I can, but you know, like Paris, I make sure that for a minimum, there's four days of me going to the gym. I mean, hell, even when we were at E3 and I was getting up in the morning and going to the store, I was using the opportunity to go to the store and jog and get some cardio in, even though I was going to walk all day at E3 anyways, but I made sure I got a good sweat going, you know, and after a while it just becomes habit. I actually now start to feel guilty when I don't go to the gym, you know? And I think that's that what Paris calls the glow, right? When you stop, when you're not going to the gym and you almost feel like you're doing something wrong, you know, and that's, you know, that's just your body's way of saying, hey, I've got excess energy. I want to go do something. Let's go do some exercise. And you know, and I have to agree with Paris. Gaming's going to be there whether you want it to be there or not. The exercise is going to help your life and your lifestyle throughout the way gaming isn't. I mean, I would have to say that, yeah, I've all the weight that I gained over the last 4 or 5 years. I mean, max, I was at 245 at one point in time because I was working, coming home and playing games for 4, 5, 6 hours and drinking sodas and eating crappy food. You know, now I'm more cognizant of what I'm putting into my body. And I'm taking that time out to make myself better, not just for me, but so that I can go out and do things with my kids and with my wife. And I'm not, you know, the big heavy set guy anymore. So, you know, kudos and big ups to you for putting in the effort and the time and everything to change your life. And no, man, keep doing it. And, you know, just keep doing it. That's all we can say.
I'll end it with this. I'll end it with this very quick. You know, look, I don't work out. But I've been really, really busy and active with work, and especially with the podcast. You know, I edit, you know, but I have time to play here and there, you know, but I always been good at that. Like, I always have a schedule. When there's a time for me to play games, there's a time for me to work. There's a time to spend time with my family, with my fiance, everybody, you know, like, and also time for myself too. Like, I feel that Paris and Pete been doing great with that too, you know, adding the whole workout routine, everything too, man. That, you know, that helps all of us too, man, because, you know, once you have that schedule, you're organized, you know what you're going to do. And, you know, but like Paris said, man, focus on what's important first and worry about everything else. Like, especially gaming, you could worry about that later on, man, you know? So, but congrats and props to you, man, for losing weight, man. That's pretty good, man. Very, very good. And anything else, guys?
I think that's about it.
All right. So look, for those who are listening, send us emails, send us voicemails. We've been getting a lot of voicemail messages, but the thing is, there's a couple. There was one that we got from SpeakPipe. For those who want to check out, go to speakpipe.com/gamertagradio. Go over there. sent us a message. There was one listener that sent us a message from Australia, but it was very, I don't know if it was the connection or something. The quality was really, really bad. So that's why I didn't play it on the show. But if you can, please call again and leave a message, and I'll definitely will play it. All right. So head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it/GamerTag. Listen to our past episodes and subscribe. You can follow us on iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, or Stitcher and other podcast directories. Give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Email us, fanmail@GamertagRadio.com. Once again, speakpipe.com/GamertagRadio. That's about it from me and from the crew. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.